ナモタスバカワトアラハトサンマサンブッダスナモタスバカワトアラハトサンマサンブッダスナモタスバカワトアラハトサンマサンブッダス。Today's talk is, the title of today's talk is Mindfulness and Clear Comprehension. Sati Sampajana. Mindfulness is Sati. Sampajana is clear comprehension. In Anguttara Nikaya, Buddha said, just as the great ocean has but one taste, the taste of salt,So this Dharma and discipline has but one taste, the taste of liberation, or the taste of release. So we say the taste of liberation, liberated from what? Liberated from aging, sickness, and death. Buddha said, Because aging, sickness, and death occurred in the world, therefore I arise in the world. If there's no aging, sickness, and death, the Buddha, it's not necessary for the Buddha to arise in this world. Then,Where the aging, sickness, and death comes from?
From birth.
From birth. Yes. When there's birth, there's aging, sickness, and death. Then, where the birth comes from? From productive karma. The productive karma produces birth.Where the productive karma comes from? Why there is productive karma? Because of defilements. Kilesa. Because of defilements, corruption of the mind. Or because of greed, hatred, and ignorance. Under the force, the influence of greed,hatred and delusion, we perform bodily, verbally, and mentally karma that leave behind karmic force. This karmic force, once mixed with favorable conditions, then it springs, it springs and produce one life, new life.Therefore, the root cause lies on the corruption of the mind, or the kilesa. As the teaching of the Buddha, as a wise person, or the teaching of the Buddha urged us to discerncause and effect, and in order to remove the cause, we have to tackle the effect. So since the birth come from, the birth is effect, the causes are defilements of the mind. Therefore, in order toovercome the birth, we have to tackle the cause, which are the greed, hatred, and delusion. And we undertake concentration and meditation, concentration and vipassana practice. The purpose of undertaking concentration and vipassana practice is to precisely overcoming the kilesa defilements. So once the mind is rid of loba, dosa, moha, then whatever karma we perform cannot produce new life. So to make good progress in your concentration and vipassana practice, there are few factors need to be considered. But today, I would like to mention two factors only. Number one is mindfulness. Number two is sampajana, clear comprehension. This sampajana is also means wisdom. So mindfulness and wisdom, or mindfulness and clear comprehension. These are the two important factors that make sure your progress in the Dharma. Without these two factors, the liberation from aging, sickness, and birth cannot be achieved. So what is this mindfulness? Sati. Mindfulness comes face to face with the object. Sorry, before I explain this, let me tell you there are two meanings of mindfulness. Mindfulness, if according to many sutta, it was translated as memory, recollecting. Memory, when we say memory, it means that we remember the past. Therefore, mindfulness also has the definition of recollecting the past. Not only mindful of pleasant moment. There's one psychic power called Pube Niwasa Nusati. Pube, it means past. Niwasa Nusati, Anusati. Anusati means remember again and again your past life. Pube Niwasa Nusati. So we also use sati, mindfulness. But this means, but at this, when we use Pube Niwasa Nusati, this mindfulness doesn't mean mindful of the present moment. It means recollecting the past. So this is one of the definition of mindfulness. The second definition is aware of what's happening at this present moment. Now, this is the second meaning of mindfulness. So under this second meaning of mindfulness, then mindfulness comes face to face with the object of focus and does not forget. For example, anapanasati. Your mindfulness comes face to face with your breath. Your breath is your focus and does not forget. Your mindfulness does not forget the breath. This is called mindful of the present moment. And while you are, when your mindfulness comes face to face with the object of focus, like your breath, at that moment, your mindfulness must be free from all judgment, free from bias, free from prejudice and preference. So while you are mindful of your breath, your mindfulness must be free from all this judgment, preference, and so on. For example, I give you an example. When there's a long breath, if your mindfulness is free from all judgment, then you know, simply know it's long breath. But if your mindfulness is associated with preference or with judgment and so on, then you say, this is a long breath, I like it. Or this is a short breath, it's not good. When the breath becomes very subtle, your mindfulness, if it is with judgment or preference, then you say, certain breath, no good, no good. This type of mindfulness is called mindfulness with judgment, mindfulness with preference, not pure mindfulness. Therefore, when practicing mindfulness of breathing, you should not judge. When the breath is long, no, it's long. When it's short, no, it's short. That's all. You cannot choose whether you like it or not. You do not like it because it's not clear, I don't like it. Because it's clear, I like it. Because it's subtle, it's not good. No. No judgment at all. No preference at all. This is what we call mindfulness. So if you can train your mind in this way, using anapanasati, you can train your mind when you are breathing in, breathing out, when the breath is long and short, clear and not clear, subtle and gross, you don't judge. You don't judge, or you don't grasp or reject. So if you can take this opportunity to train your mind, when you go back to your worldly life, when your six senses, five senses come to the impingement with the five sense object, when there's mindfulness, then you also will not judge. When your eye come to contact with pleasant object, as a result, we used to grasp the pleasant object because this is our preference. But if you can train in this way, when you are practicing anapanasati, you train your mind in neutral state. Whatever breath come to you, you just know, you do not judge, you do not reject, you do not grasp, you do not like or you do not like or dislike. So you train your mind in a neutral state of mind. Then when you go back to your worldly life, when your senses come to the contact with sense object, you also can remain neutral and equanimous. This is how you can use mindfulness to tackle the problem in your life. In our worldly life, we have a lot of stress, depression, mental sickness. Why all this stress, depression, and mental sickness come from? Where they come from? Why they arise? I think because of our habitual reaction. Our habitual reaction constant react to the pleasant thing with craving, with grasping. Constant react to the unpleasant thing with rejection, pushing away. Constant reacting to the neutral thing with ignorance. Not clear what's going on. It's called habitual reaction. All this reaction, with craving or with ignorance or with rejection, create stress in the mind. Therefore, in USA, in University of Massachusetts, University of Massachusetts Medical School, in this medical school, there's one called Center of Mindfulness. Center of Mindfulness, and they use mindfulness to cure stress. There's one very popular program called Mindfulness-Based Stress Reduction. Mindfulness-Based Stress Reduction. This is a very popular program in USA now. And this program has spread to the Asia. To Asia already. So they use mindfulness to overcome the depression, stress. Many people are cured, many patients are cured from this mindfulness program. why this mindfulness can cure stress and depression? Why? Because when you have mindfulness, you do not react. It is the reaction that kills us. React with like, dislike, or ignorant, or and so on. It's this reaction, habitual reaction, that kills us. But mindfulness trains us not to react. Observe objectively whether the phenomena is good or bad. You just observe it objectively. Don't react to it. Another way of saying, mindfulness slow down. Slow down your reaction. Impulsion or fast reaction. Impulsion is always bad. Always not based on wisdom. So mindfulness slow down, just like car, the braking system in a car. When you meet with red light, then you need the brake system to slow down or to stop, so you will not meet with accident. Similarly, mindfulness slow down your reaction, so you do not react so fast, so you do not react with anger, with craving, or with jealousy, and so on. And when you slow down, there's another benefit, very important benefit, follow after your slowing down. What is that? Yes. The benefit follow after your slowing down is you give the chance for the phenomena to reveal itself, the universal truth, which is impermanent. If you react so fast, then you lose the chance to see the impermanent nature of all compounded things. Therefore, when you have mindfulness, then you allow wisdom to see things as they really are. So there are two benefits when you have mindfulness. One is to overcome your stress. Second, you allow wisdom to follow, to mature, to follow after the mindfulness. These are the two benefits while you have mindfulness. And mindfulness allows and accepts what is happening at this moment without creating further. This acceptance is very important. Acceptance means accepting what is just as it is without passing judgment. Biased judgment distorts our picture of reality. For example, when we get angry, I give you my example. There are many years ago when I was in England. At that time, England was attacked by heat wave. So when all the passengers went into the aeroplane because of the heat wave, everybody were busy fencing themselves, including me, because so hot. But after a few minutes, I start to realize, why should I behave like them? I am practitioner. I should use my mindfulness to overcome this heat. So I bring the mindfulness, I call the mindfulness up and aware of the heat. At that very moment, I feel myself free from all the heat. The mind is cool. Although the surrounding is very hot, but my mind is not affected at all when I have the mindfulness. Before I call up the mindfulness, I was fending myself as well. But the moment I'm aware and face to face with this heat, then the heat does not affect my mind anymore. So this experience gives me very deep impression how powerful mindfulness is. Without mindfulness, I keep on reacting to the heat and feel stress, very stressful. But with mindfulness, everything changed. So this power of mindfulness, this unique acceptance, accept it, whether it's good or bad. Don't judge. For example, you have done something wrong. Thing has already happened. But when you recollect it, then you judge it. I have done something wrong, I'm not good. So your mindfulness is with judgment. Then you feel you make yourself unhappy because you feel sorry. You feel yourself unhappy. So whatever emotion comes, just face to face with it. Don't react. Don't react to that episode. When you do not react, then this episode, this emotion, whether good or bad, will soon pass away. But when you react to it, how can you see it pass away? How can you see it passes away? You already react to it. Okay, so mindfulness also includes acceptance. Not acceptance means creating a conflict between what is real at this moment and what we want things to be or how we would have them turn out. So mindfulness covers two aspects. First, we recognize it, then we accept it. These two important factors are included in mindfulness. However, but before that, let me explain a little bit according to Abhidhamma. What's the definition of mindfulness? What I have explained just now, that mindfulness is according to Satipatthana way. But now I would like to use Satipatthana way is Sutta way. But now I would like to use Abhidhamma way to explain mindfulness. Mindfulness according to Abhidhamma is mental factor, one of the 52 mental factors. Mindfulness has the characteristic of face to face with the object without getting lost. For example, when you are practicing Anapanasati, you face to face with the breath. This is called mindfulness. Without getting lost also means that mindfulness must be deep enough. Sentu, must deep enough. The mindfulness cannot be superficial. Just like you throw an empty pumpkin in the water, the pumpkin float away. But if you throw a stone in the water, the stone just sink into the bottom. This sinking into the bottom is a type of strong mindfulness, not superficial mindfulness. So this is a characteristic of mindfulness according to Abhidhamma. And the function is do not forget. Do not forget the object. Therefore, when you are practicing mindfulness of breath, sometimes you forget. Your mind goes somewhere else. You forget the breath. Then we say, you are not mindful. You are not mindful of your breath because you forget the breath. So the function of mindfulness is not forgetting. Do not forget the object. And the manifestation of mindfulness is protect the mind. When you have the mindfulness, mindfulness protect your mind from the attack of sensual object or six sensual object. Beautiful sight, beautiful sweet sound, then frequent delicious taste, soft touch, and all your fantasy from the mind. Without mindfulness, the pleasant visible object keep on attacking your eyes and arouse your greed. Without mindfulness, sweet sound keep on attacking your ear, and arouse your greed. Or unpleasant sound keeps on attacking your ear and arouse anger. Similarly, the delicious taste. Without mindfulness, the delicious taste keep on attacking your tongue, then the greed arises. And all your fantasy thoughts, all the good thoughts or bad ones, keep on attacking your mind, and you are carried away by your different thoughts. So sometimes you feel happy, sometimes you feel unhappy, because mind creates the world. When you think of something happy, you become happy. When you think of something unhappy, you become unhappy. So your mind is keep on changing. Sometimes happy, sometimes unhappy. You have no master of your mind. You cannot master your mind because you let your mind control you. Without mindfulness, your mind will go crazy. Sometimes when I do walking, after my breakfast, I do walking, I go out and do walking exercise. If I'm not mindful, sometimes I'm not mindful. I cannot be mindful all the time. Only Arahant can be mindful all the time. Sometimes I'm not mindful. I immediately feel that my mind is very stressful. Because the mind thinks this thing that endlessly, like a wandering spirit, cannot find a permanent home. I can feel it very strongly. And this wandering, let the mind wandering endlessly here and there, is very, very stressful. And because I don't like that stressful, then I quickly mindful of my mind. Mindful of my mind, or mindful of my breath, or mindful of any meditation subject, object. And immediately I feel peace. So without mindfulness, we are like crazy person. The mind wander here and there without objective, without aim, aimlessly. However, many people do not realize. Many people do not realize letting the mind wandering here and there is stressful. Because you do not realize this point, therefore, you let your mind wander here and there. You don't know, it's very stressful. If you know, then you will control your mind or anchor your mind with one meditation object. Okay, so without mindfulness, the mind is very wild, uncontrolled. And going here and there endlessly. So we are wasting our time. Okay, so mindfulness just like can be compared a rope tied. For example, a monkey. A monkey is very naughty, running here and there. Just like today, one monkey carried my blanket up to the tree and hang my blanket on the tree. See how naughty is the monkey? You see? So how to tame, the monkey? Somebody told me that when the nuns hang the ropes outside the kuti, one day the monkey took the rope and wear on his body. So how naughty is the monkey? You just cannot imagine. So how to tame such monkey? How to tame? Tie it to a post. So he cannot move around already. He only can move in a small area only. So he cannot take my blanket, cannot take the nun's rope anymore. Similarly, we must tie our mind with the rope of mindfulness. If not, our mind seems like monkey, running here and there without control. So we don't laugh at monkey. If you want to laugh at monkey, we also must laugh at our own mind. The nature of the mind is exactly same like monkey. Therefore, the importance of mindfulness is to control the mind so that it will not running here and there endlessly. Okay. However, mindfulness alone is not enough. We need another factor we call sampajana. Sampajana, clear comprehension. Sorry, before reaching clear comprehension, just now I say the manifestation of mindfulness is to protect the mind. So when your mind is tied with the rope of mindfulness, the eye cannot crave for pleasant visible object. The sound cannot crave for sweet sound. And the nose cannot crave for frequency. The tongue cannot crave for delicious food. And the body cannot crave for soft touch. And the mind cannot crave for all the fantasy, all the remorse, all the happy things, unhappy things, and so on. Because your mind is already tied up with the rope of mindfulness. This is how mindfulness protects the mind. Okay? However, mindfulness alone is never enough. Mindfulness is always accompanied with, it's not to say accompanied. When you have mindfulness, another factor will follow after. That is sampajana. Clear comprehension, or another word, thorough understanding. What is this sampajana? How Buddha teach sampajana? I would like to read one article from Satipatthana Sutta under Kaya Nupassana Satipatthana, contemplation of body, sampajana bhava. Here Buddha teach sampajana. How Buddha said, he said, and how monks, does a monk understand, have clear comprehension, sampajana? Here, monks, a monk while going forward or backward, he does so with clear comprehension. Whether he's looking straight ahead or looking sideways, he does so with clear comprehension. While he is bending or stretching, he does so with constant clear comprehension. Whether wearing his robes or carrying his bowl, he does so with constant clear comprehension. Whether he is eating, drinking, chewing or tasting, he does so with clear comprehension. While attending to the cause of nature, he does so with clear comprehension. Whether he is walking, standing, sitting, sleeping or waking, speaking or in silence, he does so with constant clear comprehension. many teachers interpret this passage. Let's say he knows he's stretching the hand, he knows he's stretching the hand. He walks, he knows he's walking. While eating, he knows he's eating. This is only sati, not sampajana. Commentary, the commentary of Satipatthana Sutta say that the dog also knows he is walking. The dog also knows he is standing. The dog also knows he is lying down. So what's the difference between this practice? The yogi's practice knowing he's walking, knowing he's standing, knowing he's eating, with the dogs, who is also knowing. So the commentary give this question. What's the difference? Therefore, the commentary said that the dog knows he is walking, but the dog does not shake, does not remove the perception of self. But the yogi who knows he's going, standing, walking, lying down, eating, he is also comprehending. He's also contemplate materiality, mentality, nama rupa. For example, I want to eat, therefore I take the food. I want to eat is mentality. My hand stretched out and taking the food is materiality. So it's only cause, lama rupa, cause and effect. And this materiality is consists of four elements. Earth element, water element, fire element, and wind element. You have to listen, all materiality consists of four elements. So if you can discern in this way, nama rupa, cause and effect, then further you investigate impermanent suffering and non-self. This is called sampajana. So just mindful, walking, sitting. Dog also know they are walking, they are sitting. So just mindfulness alone is not enough. Mindfulness, sati, sampajana. Followed by wisdom, investigate cause and effect, knowing nama rupa, knowing three characteristics, anicca, dukkha, anatta. Therefore, in one another sutta from Anguttara Nikaya, Buddha said, whether the monk walks or stands or sits or lies, whether he bends or stretches, above, across, backwards, whatever his cause in the world, whatever action he does, he observes the arising and passing away of the five aggregates. Another word, nama rupa. Five aggregates and materiality, mentality are the same. So this Anguttara Nikaya mentioned by Buddha stretch. When you are walking, when you are sitting, you listen impermanence, arising and passing away of five aggregates. Not only knowing walking, knowing sitting, knowing standing. So the Buddha clearly emphasized the thorough understanding of anicca, impermanent in all bodily and mental activities. So this is how Buddha defined, according to Sutta, we define sampajana. And there are four sampajana. Number one is called sattaka sampajana, clear comprehension of beneficial. Number two is called sappaya sampajana, clear comprehension of suitability, whether suitable or not. Number three, gochara sampajana, clear comprehension of domain.
Number four,
Asammoha Sampajana,
clear comprehension of non-delusion.
So the first one, clear comprehension of beneficial. Before we do something, let's say, as a Buddhist, our aim is to achieve liberation, free from aging, sickness, and death. So we have this aim in our mind. Then when whatever action, before you take any action or any speech, you have to think first. This action and speech, is it beneficial for you to realize your spiritual goal or not? Without thinking, sometimes by the force of defilements, we will do something which is opposite, which is not good for us to realize our goal, which is opposite from our goal. Because we live in this, competitive world. There are many things, many enticements that can distract our mind. Then we deviated from our spiritual goal. Therefore, this Sataka Sampajana, clear comprehension of beneficial, is the first thing that you should consider. Whatever action, speech you want to do, you think first. Is this beneficial to my spiritual goal or not? If yes, then you do. If no, then we have to stop. Stop or not to take any action at all. If not, after taking the wrong action, then there's remorse, regret. Then your mind is beset by restlessness, remorse and restlessness. Remorse and restlessness is one of the five hindrances that blocking your progress, that block your progress. So this is called Sataka Sampajana, clear comprehension of beneficial. Number two, clear comprehension of suitability. Certain things may be beneficial, but it's not suitable to do now. For example, for a monk to go and pay respect to pagoda, they say to Bodhgaya, it's very beneficial. When you go there, the place inspire your faith. Then you can recollect how Buddha strive for the Dharma and attain a Buddhahood. So you go to that Bodhgaya, it's very beneficial. But if on that day there are big ceremony, there are thousands of people, and they say as a monk, we go and join them. Once you go to a place where you have 1,000 people, then a lot of eye contact, bodily contact, ear contact. So all the refinements come through your six sense basis. The refinements come through the eye, come through the ear, come through the nose, come through the tongue, come through the body, come through the mind. And without mindfulness, you are beset by all refinements. Then you lose all your concentration. You lose all the wisdom. Therefore, what is beneficial may not be suitable to do at this moment. You also must have that wisdom to understand what is suitable to do now or not.
if it's not suitable to do now, we just delay, wait for another opportunity. Okay, this is called sapaya sambajana, clear comprehension of suitability. Another example, sometimes when you are beset by defilements, you feel that you need to talk to somebody. You need to talk to a monk. You need to talk to a monk because you trust the monk. But at that time, let's say it is at night, 9 o'clock, 9 p.m. It's not a proper time. It's not a suitable time for you as a female to approach a monk at night. Although talking to monk is very beneficial. Talking to monk, you release your tension, then the monk advise you, give you admonishment how to do, then you gain confidence, you gain confidence, you have more happiness. It's very beneficial talking to monk and nun. But you want to go and see him at night and alone, that's not suitable. So this is called clear comprehension of suitability. Okay, number third, clear comprehension of domain. Domain. This means that this is especially for monks, because when the monk go for pintabhata, some people when they start go for pintabhata, they carry the meditation subject. They are mindful. They say they practice anapana. When they start go out for pintabhata, he carry his subject of meditation. But after he go to town, he meet with so many people talking to the donor, then the mind becomes so restless. He come back without bring back his meditation subject. He go with the meditation subject, but come back without bring back his meditation subject. This is called no clear comprehension of domain. Another word, clear comprehension of domain means whenever or whatever you go, or anytime, any moment, your mindfulness is with your object. You are meditating all the time. Your mind is constantly tapped with the object. Disregard what posture, disregard regardless times, place, posture, and so on. In short, except sleeping, you are mindful. You are mindful of your object. This is called gochara sampajanya. If a person can be mindful of the object all the times, he make very quick progress. Very quick. Very quick he can break through. Because when a person is mindful all the time, then the defilements cannot enter to the six sense spaces. When there's no defilements entering through the six sense spaces, the mind is very calm, peaceful, serene, and the wisdom spring up very fast. But when we are not mindful, then defilement comes. Craving comes, anger comes, jealousy comes, and the mind is so hot, so restless. Then you got to fight with this one. You take a lot of time to fight with the defilement. Only when you get rid of the defilement, then the mind start to calm down again. Before it really calm down, another defilement comes again. Then you fight, fight, fight. Then after some time, mind start to calm. Before it really calm down, another defilement come from the mind, or come from the ear, or come from the eyes. So our energy go to fighting with the refinement. No time to develop concentration anymore. Therefore, in order to make further progress, if you can practice Gochara Sampajanya, clear comprehension of domain, you are bound to make swift progress, fast progress. The last one, Asammoha Sampajanya, clear comprehension of non-delusion. This is completely vipassana. Whatever you observe it through vipassana way. You observe it, whatever mentality or materiality, internally or externally, you see it as nama rupa. You see it as mind and matter. You see it as cause and effect. You see it as anicca, dukkha, anatta, impermanent, suffering and non-self. All the time. So if you can do in this way, then you are endowed with clear comprehension of non-delusion. However, you see, why the sequence? Now let me study the sequence. Number one is clear comprehension of beneficial. Number two, clear comprehension of suitability. Number three, clear comprehension of domain. Number four, clear comprehension of non-delusion. So clear comprehension of domain come first, followed by clear comprehension of wisdom. This also implies concentration should be developed first, then followed by clear comprehension of non-delusion. Because in order to see materiality, mentality, in order to see only cause and effect, in order to see only anicca, dukkha, anatta, you need concentration. Buddha said, monks develop concentration. A concentrated mind see things as they really are. Therefore, this retreat we start with concentration practice. When we develop certain degree of concentration, then we can see whatever arises in this mind and body is just impermanent, changing, arising and passing away. And what is arising and passing away is dukkha, suffering. Being oppressed by constant arising and passing away cannot bring us happiness, just suffering and suffering. And what is impermanent, what is suffering, we cannot regard it as a self, a permanent self, an abiding self. There's no self, just a process. Just a process occurring owing to cause and effect. The whole process is just cause and effect relationship. So without concentration, you cannot see clearly what's happening in your mind and body. So after you fulfill your concentration, then you go to clear comprehension of non-delusion. Then very easily you can see, arising and passing away, suffering, non-self, cause and effect, and so on. Until your wisdom matured, when your wisdom matured, then the stream enterer path will arise. The stream entry path consciousness will arise and cut off three fetters. Number one, personality view. Because you have seen enough anicca, dukkha, anatta, so you don't have personality view anymore. Number two, the stream enterer path consciousness destroy clinging to rites and rituals. Nowadays, many people cling to certain rites and rituals. ceremony. They say, oh, you go to this ceremony, then you can go to heaven. You chant this sutra, mantra, you can go to heaven. All this called rites and rituals. You no more believe in them. Why? Because you yourself, through seeing anicca, dukkha, anatta, and attain sotapanna, stream entering. You know this is the only way. How can it be other ways? Not possible. So you remove the clinging to rice and riches. And the third one, the stream enterer path consciousness also remove doubt. Doubt towards triple gems. He has no more doubt towards triple gem. His faith towards triple gem becomes unshakable. There's one story in Dhammapada, Supabuddha. Supabuddha was a leper. And one day he went to listen to Buddha's talk. After listening to the talk, he became Sotapanna, stream enterer. At that time, the Sakka, the king of the 33 heaven, he wanted to test Supabuddha's faith. How is his faith towards triple gem? So he came down from heaven and asked Supabuddha. He said, Supabuddha, you are a leper, misery, you live in misery. If you can say, there's no Buddha, Dhamma, Sangha, I can immediately heal your leprosy. I can immediately cure your leprosy and give you all the jewelry to let you become a millionaire. Just tell me, no Dhamma, no Buddha, no Sangha. He said, you are a poor people, live in misery. Just tell me three words, then I give you everything you want. Then the Supabuddha said, you are wrong. Who say I am a poor person? I have seven jewels, seven treasures. This seven treasures is possessed by a stream enterer. If I'm going to tell this one, then another half an hour. So because he already became Sotapanna stream enterer, so he has these seven treasures. Therefore he told Sakka, who told you? I am a poor person. I have seven treasures. I have seven jewels. This shows that his faith to Buddha, Dhamma, Sangha is unshakable. So long you do not become stream enterer, so long your faith is shaky. This life you may be a Buddhist, next life, who knows? You may criticize Buddhism. There's no guarantee that you can become Buddhist again, unless you become stream enterer in this very life. Okay, so to become stream enterer in this very life, you must have sati and sampajana, mindfulness and clear comprehension. However, you should not misunderstand. Samadhi is not inside. Why only sati sampajana? Why no samadhi? When we say mindfulness, concentration is already there. For example, anapanasati. Anapanasati, we never say anapanasamadhi. The name is called anapanasati. But the goal, the aim, is to achieve samadhi, concentration. How can you achieve concentration by practicing anapanasati? How? By constantly aware of the breath. By constantly aware of the breath, this is mindfulness. So if you constantly, if you are constantly aware of the breath, then your mindfulness become strong, stronger and stronger. Then it bring out another factor called Samma Samadhi, right concentration. But to be able to let the mind constantly mindful on the breath, another important factor is involved. What's that? You should know. What's that? Huh? Yes, effort, diligent effort. Without effort, you are practicing mindfulness of breathing. Breathe in, breathe out. Mind wander away. Let it wander away. Never mind. Let me enjoy my thought first. After I pause hati, satisfied, then come back to the breath. After few breath, oh, I think of my family. Never mind. Let me think first. No effort. No effort. How your mindfulness can be kept on the breath at all time? Cannot. So in order to be mindful on the breath all the time, the basics is persistent effort. You need persistent effort to let your mindfulness be on the breath. Only then your mindfulness goes deep. What's the mindfulness? Mindfulness means don't forget the breath. How not to forget? Effort. You have the effort, then you will not forget the breath. When you do not forget the breath for a long time, then concentration develops. Then you achieve right concentration up to first jhana, second jhana, third jhana, fourth jhana. Therefore, when I say mindfulness, it also implies samadhi is there already. Okay. This is the talk regarding Sati Sampajana. Thank you. Okay, time is up, so no question. My throat also does not allow me to talk more already. Huh? 一模一样是不可能的 一定的嘛, 因为我们不是死人嘛, 活人的脑袋不转的时候, 每一个时机它转的不一样。 Transfer merit. Ita wata cha ammehi sampadam punya sampadam sabbe deva sabbe buddha sabbe satta anumodantu sabba sampatti siddhiya akasata cha bhumma Dewa Naga Mahidika Punyatang Anumoditwa Jirang Rakkantu Sasanam Jirang Rakkantu Desanam Jirang Rakkantu Mangkaram Idangme Punyam Nibanasa Pachayo Bodhu Mama punya bagam Sabasatanam Majema Desabe Mesamam Punya bagam Labandu Sadhu Sadhu Sadhu